There's an expression, cannot see the forest for the trees. Meaning, whether you're a person or an organization cannot see the big picture because their focus is too much on the details, or so involved in the details of a problem to look at the situation as a whole. I think if we look at the situations of life and the world today, they've been almost forced so close to us that we cannot see the big picture, or maybe what we should be looking at. You know, what really is going on? I think it's true. There's just so much in our face right now, and everyone's trying to make sense of it or know what to do with it. What's really going on? I'd like to maybe say, maybe we're not raising our eyes to heaven. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and the fall into sin. Satan came in this temptation and said, you know what? If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. And as one writer says, you know, they were like God. They were like God in his image and likeness. They just didn't want to be reflections of his image. They wanted to be autonomous or self-ruling sources of glory themselves. God's holding out. They mistrusted God. They wanted to see it differently. We could say they lost the fear of God. One example, in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, there's a famous king, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He was powerful, he was ruthless, anything he wanted, he got. It was all about him. He's the guy that had those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up out there on the plain. But interesting thing after that, not only had Nebuchadnezzar seen God's power because those three guys were spared, but through kind of a judgment that came on him, he experienced, we'll call it a come to Jesus moment in his life. And then God uses the prophet Daniel to be a witness to him and even do some dream interpretation, help him see some things differently. And then we have a testimonial from Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He says, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes to heaven, and my sanity was restored. As soon as I got my eyes off of certain things here and looked up to heaven, my sanity was restored. In other words, I got my right mind back. I think one of the main problems that we have in our world today is where our eyes are looking. So that takes us where we're at this morning with our message. So if we back up and look at the three readings for today, as we ask the question, all right, what about these stories? What is Paul's conversion, the disciples going fishing after Jesus' resurrection, and this vision that John has in Revelation, what do they have in common, or are they just three separate stories that we have? Well, they all reflect a theme. If you lay them side by side and you look at them, there's a theme that emerges. And I'll say it's we will always need him. We will always need God. Why? One word, limitations. Limitations have a way of just getting put in our faces. We can't figure something out. Or our exhaustion causes us to make a bad decision. We try to do something beyond our capabilities. Whatever it is, limitations just remind us of what we cannot do. Or maybe what we could do at one time that we can't do any further. But then also the big ones, you know, what about coming to faith in Christ? What about always trusting God? How about trying to appease a holy God with our best efforts? Limitations. And it all starts, in a sense, because of spiritual limitations. In that New Testament lesson from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, if we were to back up before the reading that we had here, it's interesting. John gets his vision into heaven, and it says, I wept and I wept. And it says, well, why is John weeping here so uncontrollably? Because he says, there's this scroll, and no one is able to, you know, unseal this scroll, open the scroll. And the idea with that is when we are broken to the point where we can come to realize that only He can. And that's why all the praise and honor and glory is going to Christ the Lamb here in that lesson that was read. Because He is the only one that can break open that seal. We can't. It's not up to me. It's up to Jesus. And I need Jesus. The gospel reading today from John. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And He's not with His disciples anymore as He had been. So now what? It's interesting. These guys are all just kind of hanging out, and Peter wants to go fishing. And he's with the other people, and they say, all right, Peter, we'll join you. We'll go. And just like old times, they go out fishing, and they fish all night. But then people ask, well, why? Why would these guys go out fishing like this? What would be the motivation? And there's different thoughts, and we don't know. I mean, one of them could be maybe it's an attempt to go back to the way life was prior to that time they were with Jesus. But it doesn't work because it says they were out all night and they caught nothing. What is interesting is if you go back up 3 years and some of these exact same guys went out fishing all night long and had no luck. And they're on the shore, they're mending their nets, and along comes Jesus in the morning. He walks up to them and says, hey, why don't you go out, back out and go fishing again? And their thought was, we just came in, we were out all night, we caught nothing, because that's when you're supposed to fish. And you know what? They did it anyway. They listened to him, they went out, they brought in this huge catch of fish, and then on the basis of that, Jesus said, follow me, and you know what? I'll make you fishers of men. They followed him. Back into the future 3 years. They're out fishing, long night. They're coming in. And some person they don't recognize because it's kind of, you know, the sun's just barely starting to come up. Some person yells out at him from the shore and said, hey, how's it been? How's fishing? Any luck? Nothing. Throw your net over the right side of the boat. There's something over there. They do it. Follow his advice. Because Jesus was able to see something that they couldn't see. And they took his advice, things changed, and it says their nets were so full they could, you know, could barely hold all of the fish. And again, we realize our limitations and we are limited. I know it had been some time, but I think these guys still knew how to fish, some of them. They knew how to. It was their job. But then Jesus still knows more than they do. And we don't like it. Our pride kicks in when someone tries to tell us how to do things that we're supposed to know how to do, right? Because every one of us here, we know how to do certain things, and I think we know how to do certain things well, and somebody else comes in, and they've got some better advice for us. And we don't like to hear that. We get stubborn. You know? We kind of know how to do our job. We make certain decisions on things, and usually they work out. There are certain problems that we're able to work with. We got the how-tos kind of down in certain areas. And if we don't, you take out your phone and you listen to a podcast, right? You can find a podcast or a YouTube video to tell you about how to do almost anything. But you know what? Not everything. And just because the expert in the podcast or the YouTube video knows how to do something doesn't mean that it's always going to work out a certain way. Sometimes it won't work. Jesus shows the disciples and us, again, you know, the how-tos that we may know about. Sometimes we put all of our trust and hope is going to work, and maybe it just doesn't. We need to concern ourselves with the one who really truly knows what he's talking about and what his plans are, and go to the one who really truly can do that. In that first lesson, it's read, you know, the whole chapter 9 of Acts kind of fleshes out this conversion of Paul, who was his name Saul, and he had it all figured out. And if you read it as it begins here, he was certain that Jesus was a fake. He knew that all those people that were starting to follow and align themselves with Jesus, he knew that they were all wrong and they were an evil threat. And if he lived today, he would have canceled all of their Twitter accounts. I mean, he would have done that, because how dare you talk about getting false information out to people about the way the faith is supposed to be? That's why he's setting out for Damascus. And what a surprise. Because he was incredibly well educated. He knew the scriptures, he knew the faith, he was zealous. And everything he thought he knew was just completely shattered. And then the light comes on, the light of truth. And even these guys in the boat, they spent 3 years walking and talking with Jesus, needed an object lesson, you know, just do it my way. Do it my way and your nets will be full. Do it your way and sometimes you're going to experience something showing up just empty and nothing to show for it. And all your work will be for nothing. But really, all the points lead into one thing, one kind of point we kind of summarize all this into. And that is, how on earth is this small group of people who are now kind of connecting themselves with Jesus and as one of his followers, how are these guys from Galilee going to accomplish anything? How is this little group of disciples going to bring the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to the ends of Israel, let alone the ends of the world? And is it any different for us today? How are we going to do this? We know how much more and more secular our world is becoming. It really truly is a post-Christian world we are living in right now. And we know the lack of interest people have for doing what we are doing right now. But really the answer lies in what happened in the boat. And that is just listen to Jesus from our boat. We can have ideas, we can come up with some really clever ideas, and with the best of intentions, but we can still fail. We can work and work and work, and at the end of our shift, when we try to haul in, try to look at what's been accomplished, maybe there's not a whole lot there. And it's kind of back to where we started from. There's so many big trees right around us or in our face, sometimes we don't know or remind ourselves what the big picture really is, what the real issue is. And really what it comes down to is it's looking up and looking at Jesus, in a sense, and having our sanity restored. Because that's where it comes from. As soon as the nets filled with fish, John realizes who it is, and he says to Peter, "It's the Lord. He's here." We look around us, and all we come up with, sometimes we're just confronted with the limitations of our life about what we want to do or what's not happening. And Jesus comes into the scene, and he just wants us to look at him and say, just listen, follow me. I understand. I got this. I know. And by listening and following his lead about where and how to cast our nets, we'll find what we need. And it's not up to us. He just says, just follow me. Let's just follow me, trust me, and let's do this together. And we'll bring this light and this life and this message into the world. Let's just do it the way I've laid out for it to be done. And his presence in our life to bless our efforts and our work, you know, is amazing. He reminds us that he's alive. He's risen indeed. And everything we need is in him. And it's looking to him. And that really, truly, again, I believe is how our sanity is restored. We are just people living in so much fear and so much doubt and so much wonder in our world today. And I think it's just because all we see is this stuff right in front of us. And we need to do even what Nebuchadnezzar did, just look up. And then all of a sudden, things just start maybe kind of coming back into place with some peace involved. With the bottom line, we will always, always, always need him for everything. And when we don't see that we need him always, always, always for everything, that's where the problems come. There's a lot of stuff going on in our life and our world today. But it begins getting out of it is when we look to where we need to. And then we see the one who really, truly can offer us what we need. It's looking to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done. And the different ways you send these messages to us. God, there are things, so many things going on around us, maybe personally in our life right now or in our world or whatever's going on. And it's disturbing and it causes fear and uncertainty and worry and all those kind of things. But God, help us just to just pause, to stop and just look. Look to you, listen to your voice, and know who you are and what you can be and offer for us. Help us just to join you in faith each day and just come alongside as you come alongside us and we just do this together. Thank you for the comfort that that can be. And Lord, too, we just look to you for all those kind of things. Again, we pray for comfort on Greg Herbert with the passing of his mom this past week. Just bring peace to his heart and their soul and that family right now as they grieve that loss. Just surround them with your love. And Lord, as we just pass through life in different ways this week, help us just to be a source again of your love in our world. And help us always to look up and to you for what we need and what we can be. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll take our offerings.